Last night, I left work early, and we took my family and my mother and father and jammed us all in one vehicle, and we drove all the way up to Toledo. Some of you are shaking your heads already. That's a lot. And we went to dinner, and we stopped off at Bass Pro Shops and saw Santa Claus up there. You guys ever been up to Bass Pro Shops for their winter wonderland? Isn't that a great deal? But then you spend money when you're up there. That's the ploy, right? So then we do that deal, but that's not the main reason we went up there. So then we go to this place, and we walk around for 2 hours in the cold, and my dad's freezing to death because he forgot his winter overcoat. And we did all of this to go walk around in the cold and reschedule our whole day and for me to take work off to go see what? What did we go see? The Christmas lights, right? I mean, what would Christmas be without lights? Now, you're sitting there nodding your heads because you've done this before. You've rearranged your whole schedule. You've planned dinner around it. You've packed everybody in the car. You've put your overcoats on. You wrapped scarves around your neck. And you went to the zoo or you went wherever you went to go see the lights. Why? Because Christmas isn't Christmas without light. Could you imagine what Christmas would be like when you woke up tomorrow morning to go plug the tree in and all of a sudden the lights didn't work? Or you went home tonight and the lights on the outside of the house wouldn't work. Some of you guys would be up on your roof all night long making sure the lights would work. You'd be like Clark Griswold. Why? Because light is important at Christmas time. Why? Well, because Jesus came to say that He is the light. He's the light of the world, and we come to celebrate that tonight. You see, Jesus is the light for our darkened world. What we have in God is the greatest light source that humankind has ever seen or ever experienced before. And let's face it, we need it because we live in a dark world. I mean, we live in difficult times, whether it's this year, last year, the year before, or next year. Life is a struggle. And what the world throws at us and what others throw at us, and heck, what we throw at ourselves is enough to drive us to difficulty in our own hearts, to drive us into these dark moments and into these struggles. So we got to look at this guy named Jesus and say, what do you mean that you're the light for a darkened world? In Isaiah, the scripture says, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Now, right there, that's good news, isn't it? Your time of darkness, your time of struggle, your time of despair, it will not go on forever. Why? Because the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. We've been given the gift of Jesus, and that's what we celebrate at Christmas time. Here's the really cool thing. We have a God who left the ramparts of heaven behind. He didn't stand behind the pearly gates and lob commands at us and tell us what we should do and shouldn't do. He came down to earth and He lived among us. Now, that right there is enough to just amaze anybody. But too often we forget about that. That's Christmas time. That's the birth of Jesus. That's what we have in baby Jesus as a Savior, is a God who got His hands dirty. A God who didn't talk to us from a distance, but a God who came and lived among us. A God who was as real as we are and as godly as God is. He was both fully human and fully God at the same time. He was tempted in every way. He felt hunger in his stomach. He felt hurt in his heart. He was lonely and He was exposed to the elements of life. And He died for you. And He is alive and well today. And this God of ours has victory over darkness. Because even when He was dead in that tomb for 3 days, living behind that rock, okay, in death, in that dark moment, guess what happened? Victory. Death couldn't hold Him. Darkness couldn't hold Him. So you have a God who is capable and able to take you out of your darkest moments and to take that dark moment in your life and turn it to light, because Jesus Christ has victory. Victory over darkness in His great light. He's alive and He's available for you today. Isn't that great news? I mean, that is good news for all of us this day. And He wants to be a light in your life, and we just have to learn to step into the light. And that's the title of the sermon tonight. We want to step into the light. It's not just enough to know of who Jesus is and what He came to be, but we've got to take action. We've got to follow in God's promises that if we walk in the light, our darkest moments, our deepest hurts, and our saddest uncertainties won't last and go on forever. That's good news. Because when you step into the light, you're going to receive three things. And this is really basic and simple. Jesus clarified it for us. We don't have to guess. He says, I came as a light to give you three things. He says in John, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, Jesus is being pretty clear. He's not coming around our backs. He's not trying to hide behind the shadows or in the darkest streets. He's here to let the whole world know, hey, here's three reasons why I came. Here's three gifts that I came to give you. Here's three purposes for your life. Here's three reasons why you want to bring me into your life and have a relationship with me. First of all, you receive the gift of the way. You will see the way in Jesus Christ. Now, you'll admit this. It's so easy to get hung up on life. I mean, it's so easy to get hung up on the next step that we're supposed to take, or where we're supposed to go, or how we're supposed to navigate, or how we're supposed to respond to this, or what choice we're supposed to make. And Jesus says, listen, I came to pave those roads for you. I came to make the bumpy patches smooth. He says it right here in God's Word. I will lead the blind by the ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I'll turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. These are written in stone promises for you that God will never break. And if you've ever felt like you're blind in life, if you've ever felt like you're in a patch right now where you don't know what to do or you don't know where to go, if you've ever been in that place where you don't know what kind of choice is the right choice to make, but you know you have to make one of them, maybe you're facing two different choices, and each choice brings its own set of painful ramifications, but you know you can't stand pat because no decision or indecision is a decision, and you have to choose. Jesus says, I've come as a light to pave the way for you and to make the rough patches smooth. I don't want you to be stuck in the darkness of uncertainties. There was a guy by the name of Joseph that can relate to you if you're in a patch of uncertainty right now. There was a guy by the name of Joseph who the lady that he was pledged to be married came to him and said, I'm pregnant. And it's not your child, and it's nobody else's child. The Holy Spirit of God says it's God's child. Now, if this happened in real life, we would have some problems in our hearts. This would be a rough patch. This would be a moment of uncertainty. This would be a, okay, God, that's, wow. I wasn't ready for that kind of news. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to navigate. So what does Joseph do? The Scripture tells us that Joseph had in mind to quietly divorce her. Now, at those times, even though they weren't already married, those who were pledged to be married, if they broke up, it was still kind of called being divorced. And so he chose to divorce her quietly. The Bible says he did it for her own good so that she wouldn't be disgraced. Okay? And so he's in this moment where he's making a decision. But watch what happens. Joseph steps into the light of God, and God shows him the way that he should be taking. In Matthew, the story goes like this. Joseph, son of David, God says to him in a dream, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. His name is Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. In this desperate moment of uncertainty, this desperate moment of uncertainty that Joseph has, God lights the path for him to follow. And he gives him the direction that nobody else could give him. Nobody else could help Joseph with this choice or decision. He needed somebody greater than himself, greater than anybody on this earth, to help him navigate where he should go. And in this moment, God used his dark issue, his dark struggle, his dark moment of uncertainty, and he turned it into the light for Jesus, for Joseph's life. But he not only turned it into a light for Joseph's life, he turned it into the light for the world. You see, Jesus was born out of darkness. He was born out of difficulty. He was born out of uncertainty. He was born out of Joseph's uncertainty and struggle. And this is the Jesus you have today. That's why God won't leave you in the dark, because he didn't remain in the dark. So we've got to step into the light and let go of our life. You've got to step into the light and let go of your life. You see, Joseph had one of two choices he could make. He could go his own way, or he could go God's way. And that's the tough part of life, isn't it? To let go of our own way and to let God guide us and lead us. In Proverbs it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. I don't know about you, but there's not a more difficult passage of Scripture to follow. And I don't care how much you love Jesus. I don't care if this is the first time you've ever heard passage from the Bible. I don't care if you've heard it for 1,000 times. This is where push comes to shove. Okay? Because God says, you got to let go of your life. And you got to let me come in. And you got to let me guide you and lead you, because I've come as the light. We've got to trust God's love for us enough to trust the direction that He's given us to take us to exactly where we need to go. He did that for Joseph, and He'll do that for us. He'll take our darkest moments and turn them to light if we're willing to step into it. Now, secondly, Jesus makes no bones about it. He says, first of all, listen, you're going to see the way. Now, secondly, through me, as a gift of light to you, you will know the truth. And, oh boy, in this world today, we need somebody to tell us the truth. Oh, please, God, could someone just give me the truth? Could somebody just tell me the deal? Because we live in a world of deceit right now. And we've experienced it from other people. We've seen it on the internet. We've watched it on television shows. We've seen it in the movies. We've seen it played out in professional sports. And we've seen it in our own life. I mean, we're the biggest culprits sometimes because we spend so much time lying to ourselves and lying to God and other people on who we really are. And God came to expose that, and that's why He's the light. He came to expose us to the light of truth. In John it says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men and women loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done, that what he has done has been done through God. This is real simple. We need the light so that we can know what it is the good things that we're doing and what it is the right things that we need to do and what it is the true things that we need to do. And so God can expose the dark moments in our lives of the things that we know we shouldn't be doing or the mistakes that we're making or the sin that we're living into. And sadly, many of us don't want to take an honest look at our heart according to this scripture because flat out, we're just not going to like what we're going to see. We'd rather just ignore it because it's too painful for God to let us be truthful about who we really are. But God wants to expose our hearts. That's why He came. He wants to pull the curtain back, and He wants us to see the truth, and He wants us to look at our lives in His light so that we can see it, and He can take action in us, and He can heal us. The other day, we discovered that Isabel's possibly going to need another surgery in the near future. And we were looking at her foot, and she has a bone that's protruding through her foot right now, and it's causing a pressure point, and it's difficult. And Aaron and I looked at each other and said, well, we probably need to go see the doctor and let him tell us what we need to do. I'm here to tell you, I didn't want to go talk to the doctor. I didn't want to know. I'd rather just close my eyes to the whole thing. I can't think of putting her through another difficult experience like that. It would break my heart to hear the truth. You ever been there before? I didn't want to go see the doctor or talk to the doctor. We haven't done it yet, but we will soon. But you want to know what? We need to go talk to the doctor, and we need the truth. For whose sake? For her sake. For our sake. So that she can have a better life. So that she can have a better future. Because if we ignore the truth for so long, it'll put her in harm's way. Sisters and brothers, we need the light of truth in our life. Because if we let it go for too long, it will hurt. And it will hurt us in the end. And it'll give us pain. Many of us have dark sores in our hearts. Many of us have growths on our spirit that we are ignoring, and our life isn't getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse, and we need to step into the light and open up our life to God and let the light of truth into our hearts so that He can perform, watch this, not just foot surgery, but open heart surgery, so that He can come in there and change us from the inside out. We all need to be honest before God no matter how painful it is. We've got to step into the light and open up our life. Psalm says, the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Paul says, wait till the Lord comes. He'll bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men and women's hearts. We got to let the light of Christ expose us for who we are and let Him do the work of surgery in our life that we know that we desperately need, even though we might not want to own up to it. Because if we're honest and can be honest about our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we can let God change our course and take us to a new place, a safer place, a better and more healthy place. Here's the thing. We can't think that we can do this thing called life on our own. I can't perform surgery on my daughter on my own. We can't do it in our own hearts. We need somebody who is the true light of the world, who can come in and bring truth in the light of our darkness of deception and give us His word and give us life. The wise men experienced this. They went to Herod to seek direction on where they could find the baby Jesus that night. And they showed up at Herod's palace, and here's kind of what happened. You know, Herod kind of goes off into the corner in darkness and he starts plotting and scheming with all of his cronies and all these people that just have bad intentions about themselves and they want to prop themselves up and live selfishly. And so he comes back to the wise men and it says this, then Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find them, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. They saw the child with his mother Mary and they bowed down and worshipped him. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Here's what's happened. Herod's not interested in worshiping Jesus. Herod's putting a plot together so that the wise men will go find Christ, come back and tell them where He is so that he can go and murder Jesus and at the same time off the wise men. Now, what happens with the wise men? The wise men, they go and they find Christ, and what does Christ do for them when they encounter Him? Christ gives them the truth. He reveals to them the scheming. He reveals to them the deceitfulness. He reveals them to the plot that they don't even realize they're in. And because of that, He gives them a new way. He gives them a new direction and a new place to go. And that's exactly what God wants to do for you. When you live in the light of truth of Jesus, He will free you from the lies of this world and the lies of your own heart. And He'll set you free from sin and death. And He'll be able to deal with you honestly, with your sins, with your struggles, with your hurts, your habits, your hang-ups. And in that, He'll give you new life, just like He did for the wise men. He'll give you a new and fresh direction. let me wrap things up with the final point here. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and in the light of Christ, He comes to give you life. He says, I'm the life. You will receive life. If you lack purpose, if you lack meaning in your life, if your life is empty, if it's a struggle, if you're living in darkness, then Christ has come to give you new life. In John it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, this is Jesus' entire purpose. This is why Christ came to earth. To bring light into your life, to save you, and to love you, and to show you that there is a greater source of hope in this life, that there is a greater place for peace. And He came to give you new life. He came to give you eternal life. He came to give you victory on earth and life in heaven with God once we die. But eternal life isn't just something we achieve after we die. Eternal life is a quality of life here on earth. Jesus also said, I came to give you life and give it to you abundantly. You see, Jesus wants you to live an incredible life while you're here on earth, not just to wait until you die. And because of that, we have to make this choice. Do I want life on Jesus' terms, or do I want life on my own terms? Do I want the life that Jesus has for me, or do I want to do my own thing? We have got to walk out of here in our hearts and be somebody who's different. We can't just come here and say, oh, it's Christmas Eve once again. I go to church every year on Christmas Eve because that's what the family wants, and you know, if I didn't go, it wouldn't be Christmas. And so we kind of come to appease the family, or it's just kind of something we do. This has got to change you. I mean, Jesus Christ came to this earth to be the light for your life. And God doesn't want you to walk out of here and treat tomorrow just like you have every other day. He wants to do something new in you. He wants to expose your life and your heart. And He wants to give you incredible, incredible life. But we got to step into the light and receive new life. We've got to receive it. We can't remain the same. God wants to change us. Here's what He says in Matthew. You are the light of the world. He's talking about you. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before men and women, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Anybody knows that if someone gives you a gift, the only way that it is a gift is if it's received by you. If someone offers you a gift and you don't take it, it's not a gift to you. A gift needs to be received. A gift needs to be taken in. It needs to be opened up, and it needs to be accepted. And that's the same thing with God. God stands before you tonight, and He offers you the gift. And Matthew says it best. He says, listen, you need to take the cover off of your life and let Jesus in and let Him shine and do a new thing in your heart. You need to step into the light in order to become the light so that God can transform and change you from the inside out. If you do that, you will shine. He says there's basically two types of people in this world. There are those people that walk around in life with bowls over their life. They have bowls that cover up their life. They have bowls that cover up everyone else in their life. They have bowls that cover up God in their life. And then secondly, there are people that choose to be light. And those people focus on God, and they focus on others, and God's needs come alongside of them and guides them and leads them to a different place. You see, in that moment, when we choose to live in the light, life becomes a beacon of hope. Life becomes a beacon of light in all of us so that we can bring love and joy and kindness not only to our own hearts, but into everybody else we come in contact with. When Christ comes into your life and takes over, not only will you shine in your own heart, you'll shine more at work, you'll shine more in your marriage, you'll shine more with your kids, you'll shine more into your future. And you'll be able to see a new light in your life, and others will see it too. God desires to make your life better. But it's not something that you've done. It's the light of Jesus in you. So which one are you going to choose to be? Are you going to be the cover or the bowl? Or are you going to choose to take off the cover, take off the bowl, and be the light that God has called you to be? Stepping into the light requires movement, and it requires action on our parts. We've got to take the cover off and let God in. If you want things to change, if you want to be able to get out of the darkness of worry this Christmas season, to get out of the darkness of despair or loneliness or uncertainty or selfishness or emptiness, then we've got to step into the light of life this Christmas. We've got to step into the light of Jesus Christ. Here's how you do it. You admit your need to God. You admit that you're sinful. You admit that you haven't held God first place in your life. And then you choose to believe that Christ died on the cross for you and for me and for everybody else. And then we receive His grace in the blood of Christ that died on the cross for us, and we invite Him in. We receive the gift that He's given us. You can do that in a simple prayer on your own. Secondly, for those of you that need to step back into the light, maybe you've made a commitment like that before, but it's time to step back into it. Decide to make worship a regular pattern and habit in your life. Maybe decide to take on a Bible study or get into a small group. Maybe start up a devotional every day on your own where you read Scripture or you pray. There's daily breads on your way out there on the wall back there. It's just filled with devotionals all week long and all month long for you. Thirdly, be the light to somebody. Perform an act of kindness for a complete stranger. I'm not talking about family. That's kind of easy. Although for some of our families, maybe it's not that easy. I don't know. Okay? But perform an act of kindness for a complete stranger, and you'll discover how God wants to use you to be a light. I don't know, bless somebody's socks off. And not only will you be a blessing to them, God will bless your own heart. We have some awesome opportunities tonight to be here in fellowship together. But it wouldn't be right for us to celebrate the birth of Christ than to forget about and not recognize His death, because it was His death for the reason that He came to give us life. And God brought life into Jesus so that He could die on the cross for our sins. I want to invite our communion servants to come forward and invite the worship team to come forward as we move into this piece of our worship experience tonight, as we are reminded of the loving act of God and the graceful moment of Jesus Christ on the cross for all of us. You see, it was on that fateful night for Jesus that He was gathered with those who were closest to Him, with His friends, and He took bread. And He broke that bread and He said, "This is My body broken for you. As often as you eat of this, do it in remembrance of Me." And He distributed that bread amongst them, and it's a reminder to us that Christ came to be the light in us and to fill us. Not only did He talk about the bread and His body, but He also poured the cup. At that night they served wine and we served grape juice. He said, "This is My blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins." For the forgiveness of your sin and for the forgiveness of mine. And all we have to do is receive it. And this is an opportunity for us to be reminded tonight not only of Christ's life, but also of His death and His resurrection in our hearts too. And He distributed the cup amongst them as well. Sisters and brothers, this is what Jesus is all about. Life, love, sacrifice, and resurrection for us and for all this day. In a moment, we're going to invite you to the center aisle and to make your way forward. You're going to tear off a piece of the bread, dip it in the cup, and partake of the elements. No matter who you are welcome to come forward. I don't care what church you come from. I don't care if you've never been to church. It doesn't matter if this is the first time you've been to church this year. It doesn't matter who you are. You're all welcome to come forward and experience the graceful elements of Christ and to remember what He did for you. Once you've done that, you'll have a chance to pick up a candle and you'll return to your seat. But before you do that, you have a chance to bring your offering. The cool thing is that the wise men came bearing gifts. And we all have an opportunity to bear gifts to Jesus Christ. We all have an opportunity to come and to give God because He's given us so much. And this is an opportunity for us to leave our tithes and offerings to God. So you come and leave your offering, you receive the elements, you grab a candle, and you return to your seats. Let's pray. God, thank You so much for Your loving kindness. Thank You so much for Your Son Jesus. God, just give us a heartfelt moment tonight, Lord, where You make Yourself real to us in a new way. God, we thank You for the birth of Your Son, and we thank You for a Savior. It's in Your name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Would you please make your way down the center aisle? Would you please come? Ooh, here comes my favorite part. How about you? I enjoy this. This, for me, is the meaning of Christmas, a chance to share the light and to pass the light. If you notice, the Christ candle's been lit, and I light from a single flame the Christ candle, and guess what we do with that flame? We pass it on. The cool thing about this opportunity for us, and I want to invite a couple of our servants to make their way forward to be here with a couple of candles, is that this comes from a single flame, and we give, you guys want to make your way forward? Yep. We give this light to one another, and we receive this light. In other words, you receive it from somebody, and you give it to somebody. And there's meaning in that moment. There's meaning in that moment when we pass the light and we receive the light. Now, there's also some practicality to passing the light, too, so we don't set the church on fire, okay? Those of you who have an unlit candle, you lean your candle in to light the candle that is lit, all right? Now, I remember all the fun times I had as a kid when the candle's lit in front of me and the waterfalls of cascading lava and those experiences, too. So enjoy this experience and make it the tradition that is only yours. As we pass the light of Christ, I want to invite you to stand. For those of you that have been here for a Christmas Eve candlelight service before, you know it's become a tradition for us to, in the light of Christ, together, just lift up in a few words something we're thankful for this year that God has done. What are you thankful for this year?
Freedom of religion.
Freedom of religion.
Family.
Family. Friends? Health? Jobs? Mother? Thankful for a great church? Great place to be? Praise God. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your light. Thank you so much for giving us life. God, we want the light of your life in our hearts. As we go tonight, God, may we go in peace, knowing that you are the light of this world and for us. It's in your great name that we pray and give thanks. Amen. Merry Christmas. Have a great night.